He burst onto the political stage, 43 years old, charismatic, smiling, articulate, and full of energy to take Britain into the 21st century. After a sweeping election victory in 1997, Tony Blair promised a new direction.
You, the British people, have given us the chance to serve you. You have put your trust in us. And we say to you, we shall repay that trust for you. We govern for you.
He promised to revitalize the country with a dynamic, efficient approach more in tune with the new global economy. He vowed more effective social programs and brought a new, relaxed style to No. 10 Downing Street. But it wasn't just style and an ability to connect with average people that made Tony Blair popular. Blair biographer Anthony Seldon says it was also plain political skill.
He won more elections than any other Labour Prime Minister. He changed the face of the Labour Party. He produced peace in Northern Ireland after many years of fighting.
The Northern Ireland peace process of 1998 came to fruition less than 2 months ago with the formation of a unity Catholic Protestant government for the province. Mr. Blair was in Belfast to clinch the deal.
Northern Ireland was synonymous with conflict. People felt that it could not be done. Indeed, sometimes even that it shouldn't be done, that the compromises involved were too ugly. Yet in the end, it was done. And this holds a lesson for conflict everywhere.
Dealing with conflicts near and abroad became a cornerstone of Mr. Blair's interventionist foreign policy. In 1999, he argued forcefully for the international community to intervene in Kosovo. And Britain's military intervention in the West African nation of Sierra Leone in 2000 is credited with helping bring to an end a brutal civil war there. Mr. Blair won a landslide second term in office in 2001, but then the world changed on September 11th.
The horror of what has happened in the United States earlier today is now becoming clearer. It is hard even to contemplate the utter carnage and terror which has engulfed so many innocent people.
Mr. Blair stood with U.S. President George Bush, forging ever closer ties between London and Washington. He was instrumental in making the case for action against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and went along willingly into Iraq. Again, Blair biographer Anthony Seldon.
Oh, he was completely willing, and he was convinced that the British interests would best be served by getting right up close to the White House, working very closely with the president, seeing him very often, having weekly conferences on video with the president, and that this would best exert British influence.
While Mr. Blair is widely credited with having tempered the Bush administration's go-it-alone approach in the early preparations for Iraq, he's been harshly criticized for not being able to influence how the war and the aftermath were handled. Michael Brown, former Conservative Member of Parliament and now political columnist for the Independent newspaper, tells VOA that Iraq was Tony Blair's biggest mistake.
His enduring legacy in terms of British public life will, I'm afraid, be Iraq. Iraq will be engraved on Tony Blair's political tombstone when the history books of his premiership are written.
Iraq took its toll on Mr. Blair's popularity, and still he won a third term in office in 2005, even though the Labour Party took a beating. Then, in July, terrorist attacks on London's transport system claimed the lives of 52 commuters. Speculation was rife that Tony Blair would not last to the next election, scheduled for 2010. That speculation proved correct.
Today I announce my decision to stand down from the leadership of the Labour Party.
And a final word for supporters that day.
Hand on heart, I did what I thought was right. I may have been wrong. That's your call. But believe one thing, if nothing else. I did what I thought was right for our country.
It's too early to tell how Tony Blair will eventually be remembered, but for now, Iraq casts a long shadow over his legacy. Sonia Pace, VOA News, London.